Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Welcome, everybody. This is David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Emerson said, men suffer all their life long under the foolish superstition that they can be cheated. But it's impossible for a man to be cheated by anyone but himself, for a thing to be and not to be at the same time. The universe is overflowing with abundance, but each man must fulfill his own destiny. Now, I have been in the self-development, professional development industry for probably about 25 years now, studying and working in it. And I am astounded by a couple of things. One was that in order for me to be successful, building a multi-million dollar global company, that I had to learn this material that I fell in love with, that changed my life, and I had to become a person that would work on living it to the best of my ability and continue to grow in doing that for the rest of my life. And that was a decision that I made. It was a commitment that I made, and I keep that decision today. I don't do it perfectly all the time, but it is something that I strive to do. And I think that in one way or another, I'm always making progress in that direction. And I think that our company and my life reflects that. Having said that, I have been in situations in my life where I've had to manifest, create, acquire money, resources, people, opportunities that prior to me learning the information that I'm teaching, I would have thought impossible. I mean, I really would have thought impossible. If you think about, I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of what I'm teaching when you're in my audience or you're listening to my podcast or something maybe that I'm doing on the phone or the computer, or if you're reading a book or whatever, and you see me in a place that maybe you're not. And I remember being in that place myself. I remember being in the audience. I remember being the person that had the hopes and the dreams and seeing the speakers on the stage in their, $5,000-$10,000 suits with their jewelry and their limos and their private jets, and they would come in and they would tout just brilliant wisdoms and basically tell everybody that they had the ability to change. Some of them would just say you had the ability to change. Others, like my mentor, would teach you how to make those changes. And that's why eventually I chose to work with him. But the thing is that there's a price to be paid for everything in life. And I think that one of the first things that we need to understand is what the first and foremost price is that we're paying. Because if we don't understand that, the other costs that we have to pay don't seem to make much sense. So let me start off with the first one is, and then I'll explain what the others are and why they don't seem to make much sense. The number one price that a person pays for success or failure is the expenditure of their own life. Meaning that every day when you wake up and you go through your day, whatever it is that you're doing, you are using up time in your life that you're never going to get back. It is the most precious thing that we have. People will say, well, my house is precious, my kids are precious, my dog is precious, my office is precious, my business is precious. Your time is the most precious thing that you'll ever have because you don't get it back. Whatever it is, every second, every minute, every day, every week, every month, every year that you spend doing something, you're investing that time. You're trading a portion of your life for that experience. And people really kind of go through life, at least I know that I did, especially in your younger years, where you really don't take into consideration that that time is going by relatively quickly. As you start to get older, and for those of you that are listening to this that are older, you'll agree, you'll have had that experience. You'll be like, where did the 20 years go? Where did the 50 years go? And the older you get, it seems like time speeds up even faster. And we all know what the end outcome is. We're all headed for the same destination. It's not a big mystery, although people do seem to live like it's some kind of mystery, but it really is no big mystery. We're all going to die at some point. So it's a matter of what it is that we're doing in between that makes the difference. Now, what is it that we're doing in between? Well, I think you could break it down into a lot of different factors as to what it is that we're doing in between. But one of the things that I want you to consider is, are you doing something that you're happy doing, or are you doing something that you're miserable doing? And until I was probably around 27, 28 years old, most of everything that I was doing in my life was pretty damn miserable. I really was not having a whole lot of fun. I was constantly broke. I was working 2-3 jobs. I just didn't know how I was gonna break out and break through. And it was through systematic implementation of these sound principles that I really started to make a huge difference in my life. And it really was just like that. I mean, it was overnight, and I am not kidding you. Now, I remember when I first sat in the audience listening to my mentor talk, and he would say, you know, anybody in this room can turn their annual income into a monthly income, and you could do it like that, you could do it this month. And I would think to myself, yeah, everybody but me. I mean, maybe you can do it, but I mean, I don't, how the hell am I going to do that? So that would give you a very good indication of where I was mentally. I was seeking, but I was not making a decision to fully step into what it was that I really wanted to do. And frankly, I was really not conscious at that time that I was going to be doing what it is that I'm doing now. I just knew that I was in love with what I was learning. And incidentally, this was the first time I had ever fell in love with learning. When I was a kid, I hated learning. I wanted to be outside and, you know, discovering things or fishing or walking through the woods or doing anything but sitting inside of a school with my face in a book. But it's interesting that when you want something and when you're learning something and when something becomes so important to you that, and the information is in books, now you can't get enough of them. And I have an astounding library that I've built over probably 27 years now that just covers every aspect of what this growth looks like and different principles and different people's takes on them and how to apply them in your life. And then I have a core set of books that I go to on a regular basis that I study that I really think it's the essence. It's where all the rest came from, basically. Because, you know, I mean, I read new stuff every week. I mean, I go through a few books a week. There are new things that I learn. A lot of it is a rehash of, you know, going back to Russell's work or the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or going back to Napoleon Hill, a lot of different things, a lot of the great truth tellers, you know, over the centuries. So, but the important thing to know is that you're trading your life for something, and the question is, what are you trading it for? And I think a lot of people are making a very poor trade, because we were given these higher faculties, these godlike faculties, these creative faculties that allow us to create a life of our own choosing, of our own making, of our own standard. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from, what your sex is. It doesn't matter what your problems are either. You can make a decision today to change everything that you want to change in your life. And in a very short period of time, with some sound study, a good coach or a mentor, and a reasonable time frame, you can make an enormous change in your outcome. Now, when I first started, one of the problems that I had was that I just did not have the resources, or I didn't perceive I had the resources that I needed in order to move forward. So I kept a series of books that did nothing but give me light and truth to my mind on a consistent basis. One of them was You Too Can Be Prosperous by Robert Russell. One of them was Genevieve B. Wren's Your Invisible Power, As a Man Thinketh, Think and Grow Rich, The Laws of Success, and there's a few others also I'll get into in some of the other podcasts. Working with the Law was a big one for me. One, Working with the Law, and Think and Grow Rich go with me on the road everywhere I go. They're just absolutely phenomenal books. But in Russell's book, You Too Can Be Prosperous, he says, since two thoughts cannot occupy the mind at the same time, we cannot build a new consciousness and a new conditions until we have cleared a space for them by eliminating the old. Poverty thoughts must be turned out before prosperity thoughts can go to work. That is why the Chinese say that not to correct our faults is to commit new ones. Thoughts like magnets in our mind. They attract other thoughts like themselves. Like attracts like, and like begets like. The old saying, based on experience, is we contemplate the idea of lack, we shall experience lack in many forms. Lack of money, lack of peace, lack of health, lack of employment, lack of happiness, lack of freedom. And the question is that, you know, it's not like we live in a world anymore where we can't see how people are actually becoming successful. We have the internet. When I first started doing this, we didn't have the internet. You had to go to the library or a bookstore to find a book. And I spent a lot of time in those places. And you didn't even know what it is that you were really looking for. So, but today, we have information at our fingertips anywhere in the world, on our pads, on our phones, and, you know, and anywhere we are, we have information. More people are becoming millionaires today than any time in history. More people are doing it younger than any time in history. And yet, we still have people that are insisting on holding a victim attitude, blaming other people for their situation, and staying stuck, seeking vengeance, seeking blame, and just looking to punish everybody else instead of asking themselves, what is it about me that caused me to be in the situation that I'm in? And that was the first question that I asked myself that actually began to turn things around for me. It was when I stopped blaming and I asked myself, what is it about me that's causing me to be in this situation that I'm in? And I've never stopped asking that question. See, it's not that everything, like you make this change, like you take an aspirin and a headache goes away. All you're doing is masking the symptom, but you're not fixing the cause. It's your head, you make it ache, and you can make it stop. You don't need to take an aspirin for it. So the idea here is that it's your results, you caused them, you can change them. You don't have to have somebody else do something in order for those results to change. So when we look at the results that we have in our life, one of the things that we're looking at is that we're seeing or experiencing those results through our senses. We see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And those results are constantly being fed back into our conscious mind, where our subconscious mind tells us how to think about the results that we're thinking. So the conscious mind tells us how, and the conscious mind tells us what. So it's how to think about what we're experiencing. Now, if you have not trained yourself to think the way that you want to think in order to change your results, you were really pretty much left to the idea that you don't have much of a choice about how to think about what it is that you're experiencing. You have pre-programmed beliefs, value systems, strategies, all different kinds of ways of coping with life that comes to you. And we never think to ourselves, if I really want something different, maybe all of this stuff that I learned is not all that productive, yet if I was to be able to change it, if I changed the way that I thought, could I command a different world to be created around me? Now, I've watched people do this for years. It started off when I was working with my mentor, and I saw it happen with him and the people that he was working with. I was one of them. My life changed on a dime, and it's never gone back. And then I started my own business, and I've done it with thousands of people all over the world. I've watched their lives changed, and they haven't gone back. And it's all the same principle. It's like one of us, you know, learns it, and then we go on and we pass it on to someone else, and they learn it, and they go on to pass it on to someone else. And it's almost like there's this movement that's going on that a lot of people don't even know is going on, is understanding. But people really don't understand how is it that all these people are changing around them, and they don't know that this information is really at the core of what's going on, because they're looking through their eyes at what they're doing, and they're not asking themselves the question, what are they thinking? And that's the question that we need to be asking ourselves, what are we thinking? So when we see these results, and the results then are reflecting in our mind, and our subconscious mind is telling us how to think about them, it basically tells us how to stay locked in this box. But everybody has this goal, or they have a want, where they want to go to someplace different. And in order to go from where you are to go to someplace different, it requires that you make a decision that you're going to do something completely different, you're going to think different, you're going to become something different, and that you're going to get a different result. But as we start to think about the idea of making the decision to do that, then all of a sudden the paradigm kicks in, or the old belief system kicks in, and it gives us all the reasons why that cannot be done, and the decision seems to fade away, it vanishes, the enthusiasm around it vanishes, the excitement around it vanishes, and we go right back down to the place that we were. And of course, because we built a life based on those ideas, we're probably also surrounded by people that verify all the reasons why we can't do those things either, which in my mind causes a considerable problem, because it's just more of the same. We're not putting ourselves in situations where there's people that can say to us, hey, listen, not only can you do it, but here's how you can do it. And as you begin to learn how to do it, you're really retraining the way that you think so that you can, so that it becomes a habitual way to think. And as you have a habitual way to think, you'll have a habitual change in your life. Listen to what James Allen said. He said, "You too, youthful reader, will realize the vision, not the idle wish, of your heart, be it base or beautiful or a mixture of both. For you will always gravitate toward that which you secretly most love. Into your hands will be placed the exact results of your own thoughts. You will receive that which you earn, no more and no less." So one of the hardest lessons that that I had to learn was when my mentor said to me, when I didn't have any money and I was broke and I had a lot of debt, and he said, "You deserve to be right where you are." And I did not like hearing that. But he also explained that I deserved being right where I was because I was using the laws based on ignorance. See, ignorance really is our only problem in life. It's what we don't know that we don't know that keeps us stuck from making intelligent choices that will lead us out into the light. And it keeps us in the darkness, and it keeps us in the darkness for a very long period of time. In some cases, people go to the grave with that idea of ignorance that stays in there a long time. He says, "The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal that you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by. This is what you will become." So, you know, I think that what we have to think about is we have to take an analysis of what it is that we believe. And we have to kind of ask ourselves, why do we believe these things? Now, I learned something from a story that was told to me by my mentor, and I'm going to tell you the story. And I sincerely hope that it has the same impact upon you that it had upon me. Because I had been studying for a very long time. And, you know, my mentor used to say to me, he was like, "You know, there's a kindred spirit between us because even though we were born 32 years apart, we've had a very similar lifestyle. A lot of the same things that we went through and serendipitously came to the same conclusions or the same types of people that have led us out into the light." So here's what the story is. I was studying belief and the word belief. And I was thinking to myself, how the hell do you even know if you believe something? Like, where would that even show up? Now, Earl Nightingale, in the program Lead the Field and in The Strangest Secret, really kind of said that attitude was the magic word. And I agree with that. I think changing your attitude, a conscious choice in changing your attitude, is changing your thoughts, your feelings, and actions, keeping them all lined up, moving in the same direction. As you begin to do that and integrate it into your personality, I think then you move into what we call a belief. So I think it's the starting point, this whole idea of Earl's idea of attitude to change that. But what I had noticed was that the word belief used 2,000 years ago, say in the Bible, and the way that it was written in current self-help situations, had a very different tense to what could be accomplished if you actually believed something. Here you have the Bible saying, if you whatever it is that you believe in your heart, you will have in your life. Whatever you could say to this mountain from here to there, and it would be cast into the sea. It was some pretty big things, some pretty big powerful things that were being surmised because of this idea. And the way that it currently is written in this day is more of an intellectual understanding of something or an intellectual agreement around the word. And I thought, yeah, there's something else here. So I was having dinner with my mentor one night, and I said to him, "I'm really stuck on this whole idea about belief," and I started explaining where I was with it, and he proceeded to tell me this story. He said that he was having the same problem, and he met with his mentor, Leland Val Vandewall, I believe it was either a restaurant. I think it was a restaurant in Toronto, and they were having dinner. And Bob said to Val, "What do you know about belief?" And he said, "Well, he said, when we believe something or our belief about something is really based upon our evaluation of something. And as we change our evaluation of something, we tend to change our belief about it." And Bob was like, "What? What did you just say? Would you repeat that?" And Val said, "Well, our belief system is based on our evaluation of something, and as we change our evaluation of something, we tend to change our belief about it. And we have the ability, it's one of our intellectual factors, to reason. So as we have the ability to reason, we have the ability to reevaluate what it is that we believe, and we can actually change that." Now, here's the powerful part about this. Most of the damn things that we believe, we never evaluated to begin with. They were shoved into our subconscious mind prior to the age of 7 when our mind was wide open. We didn't have the conscious ability to reject it. So there was no, and we didn't have the conscious ability to reason it. We didn't have critical thinking at that time. So there was no evaluative process taking place. It was just going right in. And as it went right in, it became a belief, and those beliefs became habits, and those habits began to run our life. It began to run our whole world because it was exactly how we saw everything. So basically how we saw everything became the way that we experienced everything. And as we experienced everything, it reinforced the belief that we were given in the first place that we never had the ability to evaluate. Now, you may want to listen to this podcast a few times because it might be one of the most powerful things you've ever heard if you really sit and think about it. How many of the beliefs do you have that you've never actually even evaluated? You just take them on face value because somebody else told you that they were true. One of them could be that the earning of money is difficult. The earning of money is not difficult. I used to think that the earning of money was difficult. I used to think that success was difficult. It is not difficult. The earning of money is easy, and actually, the more money you earn, it's kind of a paradox based on the way that we've been taught, but the more money that you earn, the easier it actually is. So we have to really reevaluate a lot of the stuff that we've got going around in our mind so that we can come to conclusions. Now, it's not just reevaluating it based on using what the current knowledge is that you have wrapped into your thinking process. You've got to be willing to study. And you've got to get into good books. You've got to get into good material. You've got to get into really good seminars. You've got to be willing to work with people that already have the result that you want. Because if they don't have the result, they don't know what it is that they're really doing. They don't know what it is that they're really thinking. They have not reevaluated their thought process. And it's very easy to tell because you could just look at their results and you could say, well, you haven't reevaluated your thought process because you're getting the same damn results that you got before. Had you reevaluated your thought process and you changed it and you put good material in there and then that you became disciplined in carrying out that good material and it became a habit, you would now have completely different results in your life. Now that requires the decision again. So we're back to decision. So the decision is the defining factor. If you go back to Napoleon Hill's work, he did a study of over 500 people for a period of 20 to 25 years, and he said one of the number one reasons, and he's found this in every person that he studied, was that the successful people had the habit of making decisions quickly and firmly and changing them, if they changed them, slowly and not often. So there's things here that we need to think about. Most people do not know how to make a decision at all. They don't know how to evaluate or reevaluate something so that they can make a decision. so that they can make a different decision that's going to change their life. So they stay in the same place over, over, and over again. They blame other people for where they are. They're stuck on something that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, something that happened to their parents. And it becomes the excuse as to why they don't go out and do it themselves. Nobody's holding you back but you. You don't need anybody to agree with you. There's 7 billion people on the planet. There's plenty of people that can help you do, be, become anything that you want. All the information is there. Nobody's hiding it. It's not kept in secret anymore. Pick up the books. Study. Go to the seminars. But you've got to invest in yourself if you're going to have the ability to reevaluate what the hell you believe so that you can build new habits to create a new life. And that is going to require that you make a decision based on where you want to go, not on the beliefs about why you should stay where you are. That is the truth. That is the God's truth about life, about success, about anything that you want to be in this life. And never forget for one second that no matter what you do, every day that you go through this world is a day you don't get back. Make it count. This is David Nagel. We'll talk to you on the next podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.